The Bible repeatedly emphasizes the value of being faithful. This character trait can also be put into common everyday usage as being dependable. Dependability, our English word for dependability, and the biblical word for faithfulness almost have the same definition. You know, sometimes we look at the Bible and we say, oh, faithfulness, to be faithful and to have faithfulness as part of our character, that must imply like God and all kinds of esoteric concepts. No, faithfulness means that you're dependable. If you're a husband, do you have faith in your wife? If you're a wife, do you have faith in your husband? If you're an employer, do you have faith in your employees? If you're an employee, do you have faith that your employer is going to deposit your money in your account? All of that has to do with being faithful and being dependable. There's a lot of scriptures in the Bible that talk about dependability and faithfulness. Let's look at Proverbs 25, verse 13. Proverbs has a lot of scriptures in it that deal with dependability and being faithful. So in this sermon, we're going to use dependability and faithfulness in an interchangeable way. Proverbs 25, verse 13. What's it like to be dependable or to be faithful? Like the cold snow in time of harvest is a faithful messenger to those who send him, for he refreshes the soul of his masters. You send somebody on a mission, you have complete trust in him or them. You know that the job is going to get done. You know what that's like? That's like, you know, these warm August days that we have here, and then you have a nice cool cold front that comes in, clears everything out, and everything is nice and crisp and clear. Refreshing. That's what the Bible says about a faithful messenger. Someone that is dependable is like that. The Bible has a lot to do with dependability. In the Bible, there were various people, men and women, who assisted Paul in his difficult life as an apostle of Jesus Christ. He was the apostle to the Gentiles. He was the apostle because he was sent to the Gentiles. That's what the word apostle means. He had a commission to go to the Gentiles. You remember the apostle to the circumcision? Who was that? Peter. He was sent to the circumcision. But Paul had a very, very difficult life. He had all kinds of hardships. You can read about them in various places in the Bible. But of all those who traveled with Paul and helped him in his ministry, there was one person that stood out in his helping Paul. He was a very dependable, faithful servant, and his name was Timothy. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 19. Philippians chapter 2, and in verse 19. Philippians 2, 19. Let me get there. Philippians 2, verse 19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I may also be encouraged when I know of your state. There was no emails. There was no phone. There was mail by horses and by courier. But to send a letter from here to Houston, 300 or 400 miles, might take months. By the time you got the return response, it might be half a year. So Paul was going to send Timothy to this church in Philippi to see how things were going and to report back to him. Notice what it says. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he has served me in the gospel. Paul thought highly of Timothy. He thought very highly of Timothy. One of the reasons he thought so much about Timothy and he was so high in his mental state was that Timothy was very, very dependable. He was faithful. He would give Timothy a job and he wouldn't have to worry about if it would get done or not. He was a very faithful person. There was no one else quite as dependable as Timothy. Paul could count on him. He could rely on him to dependably look for the welfare of the church he was sending him to Philippi. Go look at the church. Bring me back word of how they're doing. Let me see if they're having any problems, if we need to take care of any situations. And, you know, this was not, you know, get in your car and drive for 2 hours. This was being gone for several weeks and then coming back and traveling. And Paul was thought very much of Timothy because Timothy had this one trait, and that was dependability. The character trait of dependability, or like the Bible says, faithfulness, is a very, very important quality. And in this sermon today, what we're going to do is we're going to look at the trait of dependability. If you want to get biblical, you can say we're going to look at the trait of faithfulness, because faithfulness and dependability are almost the same exact thing. Now, what are some definitions of dependability? Dependability is a consistency of character, good character, the quality of being able to be counted on, relied on by others. A dependable person keeps promises and commitments. The book of Proverbs has many, many observations. There's also two ways that we're going to look at dependability today. One is dependability in the world, physical dependability, and the other is spiritual dependability, faithfulness among ourselves and among our God. It's highly praised in the book of Proverbs. I just read you one scripture there in Proverbs chapter 25. But let's look at another one in 1 Corinthians about dependability. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. You know what a steward is? A steward is someone that's been put in charge. Someone that's been put in charge. In the sermonette, we heard about the qualifications of an elder. You know what an elder is called? He's called a steward. You remember the story about Joseph? Joseph being sold into slavery, ends up in Potiphar's house. You remember that? And before he's taken to jail on trumped up charges, he's the main steward in Potiphar's house. He was such a good steward that Potiphar didn't worry about anything. All Potiphar worried about is, what are we eating today? The Bible says that he only worried about what was set in front of him for food. I think instead of chicken today, I want to have fish. How would you like to have, and Potiphar was a very wealthy man, lots of servants, lots of employees, probably had a villa or a hacienda of maybe 200 or 300 acres. How would you like to have a steward or a person that worked for you that was so dependable that you didn't have to worry about what was going on? All you had to do was worry about what you were going to eat. Can you imagine all the worries that would be taken care of? And it says that that Joseph was such a good steward that Potiphar didn't worry about anything except what was set before him. It says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful, that one be found dependable. Can people depend on you? Can I depend on you? Can you depend on me? Can we depend on each other? Can your children depend on you? Can the employer depend on you as an employee? Can you as an employer depend on your employees? There's a lot of ways we can go with this message. Someone who entrusts his wealth or his interest to another person is refreshed when that person is dependable. He need not constantly worry about his interest, about his money being pilfered, his property being confiscated or sold off while he's not around. You know what the main qualifications for being a good steward are? Dependability, faithfulness. It's also a good quality for a servant of God, for a Christian, for us, with not only our relationship with each other, but our relationship to God. Point number one, let's look at how important dependability is in the business world. In the business world, or in the secular world. You ever been evaluated on your job by your supervisor? I have probably hundreds of times. And you're evaluated. Are you ever written a resume? On your resume, do you put, I am not dependable? Oh, no, you don't put that. You put very dependable, able to carry out tasks without supervision. You know why you put that? Because that's a good trait to have. You know what's good when you're evaluated and your boss puts down dependable? That's a very good compliment to have. So in the business world, dependability is a very much sought after trait. Think about this. Without dependability, it doesn't matter what your other attributes are, they will count for nothing. You're going to have a man that's highly educated, lots of letters behind his name. He can have lots of experience. He can be a nice dresser, man or woman. He can have good approach to people. But I don't trust him. I don't know. I mean, I'm going to send him off to do this job. Is it going to get done? Do I have to supervise him? So dependability is the main trait. There are people that will hire somebody who doesn't know the business, who doesn't know anything about what you're doing, but that person is dependable. You can train him in the other stuff. But dependability is a character trait. So in the world of business and in other secular pursuits, dependability, or as we would say, biblical faithfulness, is very, very important. You know, let me read you what the statement is. I paraphrase it, but let me read you to give the proper credit. Without dependability, one's abilities may be a liability instead of an asset. Let me read you that again. Without dependability, one's abilities may be a liability instead of an asset. That was spoken by U.S. President Woodrow Wilson. Just think about it. You have a man that's, or a woman that's very capable, has all the qualities that needed, but you don't trust them. It's like, you know, give me someone I can trust, that I can send. Dependability is more important than any other talent. Dependability is a talent, and is it a talent that all can have? It makes no difference how much ability we possess if we are not responsible and dependable. This was written by Henry F. Cope off the internet. It says, the only people who count are those who can be counted on. Think about it. Can your employer, I know some of us are retired, can your employer count on you? Can your wife depend on you? Can your children depend on you? Or no, dad's gone off for 3 weeks and we don't know where he's gone. He might come back drunk for all we know. I don't exaggerate. There are people that have been raised in that kind of situation. Father's not dependable. Mother's not dependable. Can God depend on me? And can God depend on you? Are you dependable? Are you faithful to God and to each other? Dependability is a trait, a character trait. It's a very important trait. Let's look at some scriptures that talk about dependability. From a business perspective, the Bible has a lot. You know, the Bible is not only a book about spiritual things, but it talks about, you know, the nitty-gritty daily grind we go through. Let's go to Titus chapter 2, verse 9. Titus 2, right before Hebrews. Titus 2 and verse 9. Titus 2, verse 9. It says, exhort bondservants to be obedient. We hear the word bondservant and we kind of like, ooh, this doesn't apply to me. I was talking about slaves back then. Bondservants. You know, part of my job is to make scriptures come alive to you so you can relate to them. You know what a bondservant was? So you can relate to this. A bondservant was worked for somebody who they owed money to. You know, I'm in bondage to you. I'm your servant. You had, in the 1700s, you had indentured servants. You pay for my trip to the New World. You give me a couple of acres. I'll work for you, and I'll work for you for 15 years, and I'm your bondservant. You might say, wow, working to pay off a debt. That's like archaic. That doesn't apply to me. Let me ask you a question. You got a credit card? You got a credit card and you have a balance on it. You know what you are? You're a bondservant. You got a truck loan or a car loan? You're a bondservant. You're working to pay that off. It's not yours. You're not your, you know, some people, hopefully not anybody in this room, but some people get up every day to go to work to a job they hate because they got bills they got to pay. Now I ask you, what's the difference between that and being a bondservant? So, now that I've made you relate to this, let's see what it says. Verse 9, exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back. You know, don't talk back. Not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. It says here that we as bondservants, our bondservants that were around at that time, that they needed to be above reproach, dependable. You know why? Because it has to do with, notice what it says in verse 10, the doctrine of God, our Savior. You know that some people are going to look at you, and they're going to look at me, and they're going to say, in their mind, they're going to say, that's the only Bible I'm going to read. You know, some people get their ideas of religion and the Bible by looking at the way you and I live. I'm just like you, brother. They look at what the Bible says, and this person claims to follow the Bible. How are they living? Notice what it says here in verse 10. The last part, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. So bondservants are supposed to be dependable, faithful, so that they don't besmirch God's truth and God's doctrines. When people look at me, they're probably reading the Bible. You know, this man claims to keep the Sabbath. He claims to keep the holy days. We are being read, brethren. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. We're looking at, and this the verse I just read you had to do with bondservants. It didn't have to do with Christians. It had to do with people in the world who were servants. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. Servants. It didn't say church members. It didn't say people of the church of God. Servants. Put in their employees. Put in their husbands. Put in their brothers. Physical brothers. Put in their, you know, whatever term you want to use. Servants, be submissive to your own masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. Oh, you don't know my boss. My boss is a real boy. It's hard to really, you know, do what I need to do and what he wants me to do because he's such a bad person. Verse 19, for this is commendable if because of conscience towards God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, that is commendable before God. You know, you get thrown into prison for what you do, what you actually did. That's not commendable. What's commendable is to get thrown into prison and be of good conscience when you didn't do anything wrong. So it says here that servants are to be submissive to their own masters. And so they're supposed to have an aura of dependability. Servants are. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. And it says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, the following. And whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not to men. You know, you're doing something for somebody. You should ask yourself the following. If I was working for Christ, how would I do this? And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of an inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. We need to be good stewards, brethren, whether it's in a physical sense or whether it's in a spiritual sense, whether we're being stewards to our spiritual brothers or whether we're being stewards to our physical bosses or whether it's one wife or a wife being dependable to her husband. You know, how many husbands have ever thought, I wonder where my wife is at? What's she doing? I haven't heard from her. You know, I don't worry about my wife. She's dependable. My wife certainly shouldn't have to worry about me. Do your kids have to worry about you? I wonder if we're going to eat this week because dad hasn't worked all week long. I know there's circumstances. But are you dependable? Are you a good worker? Are you a hard worker? Dependability is very important. I'm speaking from a physical sense. Two parts of the sermon. Physical, and then I'm going to go to the spiritual. So don't start casting stones quite yet. We're looking at the physical aspects. Notice what it says, and whatever you do in verse 33, 23, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. You know, if there's something worth doing, do it like if you're doing it to Christ. That will help you instill dependability in your life. What's it like to deal with people? What's it like to be an employer or a person who has to depend on somebody that's undependable? You ever been there? Some of you have been managers, and you got to deal with people that, I wonder what's going to happen. Instead of, I know exactly what's going to happen, because that person is dependable. Let's go to, for examples of this, let's go to Proverbs 26, verse 6. Proverbs 26, verse 6. Everywhere I've given this sermon, and I've given it more than once, whenever I get to the point of what's it like to send somebody who's not dependable, I get the same nods from everybody. Everybody's been there. Proverbs chapter 26. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 6. Proverbs 26, verse 6. He who sends a message by the hand of a fool cuts off his own feet and drinks violence. You know what it's like to send a message that really has to get somewhere important and you send it by the hand of a fool? It's like somebody cuts off your feet and beats you up. I'm just putting it in the vernacular. You like to be beat up? Have your feet cut off? Send a message by a fool. You're not sure. Is it going to get there? I don't know. It may not. So here it is about how dependability, or the opposite of dependability. If you got someone that's not dependable, you're going to create problems for yourself. Create problems for yourself. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 10, verse 26. Every once in a while, my wife will say, here, drink this. It's good for you. And I go, what is it? She goes, don't worry about it. Just drink it. Proverbs 10, 26. Notice what it says. As vinegar to the teeth. This is apple cider vinegar. It's good for you. Can we water it down, please? As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes. You ever been at a campfire? You know what it's like to have vinegar on your teeth and have smoke in your eyes? So is a lazy man to him who sends him. Sends him. If you send up a lazy person, they're not going to do much. It's going to be like, you know, when he leaves, you're going to be like, I got that vinegar taste in my mouth and I got smoke in my eyes. This is some examples of what it's like to have to deal with undependable people. It's like having vinegar in your teeth and smoke in your eyes. Let's go to Proverbs 13, forward a page or two to verse 17. A wicked messenger falls into trouble, but a faithful ambassador brings health. You know what an ambassador is? An ambassador is someone who represents you to another country. I'm going to send him over there and he's going to look after my interests. What if you send somebody to another country and he's not looking out after your interest? He's looking out after his own interest or her own interest. Not dependable. A faithful ambassador brings health. A wicked messenger falls into trouble. I send him with I send him with some money to the bank, or her with the money to the bank. I send him with this load of lumber or whatever it is. You mean he hasn't arrived yet? Where is he? That's what it's like to have a wicked messenger. Falls into trouble. Here's some very good examples of what it's like to have to deal with the undependable people. Question to you and question to me. What does God think about us? What does God think about us? Oh, now you're getting personal there. What does God think about us? You ever read about the Civil War? I like to read history every once in a while. You had Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln is, you know, the war with the South. He had generals that he put in, you know, that he put into positions of power in the army. He had one general. His name was George McClellan. Very good general. Very honorable person. I think it was at West Point. All kinds of accolades militarily. Good dresser. Very good speaker. Good person. But this general had a problem. He wouldn't fight. He wouldn't fight. He never wanted to engage the troops of the South. He ran away from battle. He positioned an army where he didn't have to meet these other armies in battle. He wouldn't fight. You know what a general's supposed to do? Especially in the Civil War? He's supposed to fight. And you know what Lincoln did? Lincoln replaced him because he was undependable. Read about him. George McClellan, one of the generals in the Civil War, would not fight. And Abraham Lincoln finally had to get rid of him because he wouldn't do what he was supposed to. Point number three. First point was, what dependability and faithfulness is. Second is dealing with undependable people. Third point is, what does this have to do with us? What does this have to do with us? Let's go to the book of Luke. Look at Luke chapter 16, verse 10. Luke 16, verse 10. Very important principle. This principle right here will make or break you spiritually. It'll make or break you physically. It's a difference between a good father and a bad father. It's a difference between a good wife and a bad wife. It's a difference between a good teacher and a bad teacher. It's a difference between a good Christian and a bad one. Luke chapter 16, verse 10. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Now I know it doesn't work this way in real life. But you know how a person should be promoted? And this is usually the way it happens, but I've been around when it hasn't. But in real life, what they will do is they will look at what you're doing with what you have. And if you're doing good with what you have, they're going to give you more. If you're doing bad with what you have, what should happen in real life, which doesn't always happen, is they should demote you down to the next level. But that doesn't always happen. But that's what God says here. He put in your name Arnold, who is faithful in what is least, is faithful also in much. And Arnold, who is unjust in what is least, is also unjust in much. Put your name in there. How are you and I handling the little things? How are you and I handling the little things? And I know I'm speaking to the choir here, brother. I'm speaking to the choir. This is not a corrective sermon. But I'm speaking to the choir here because I need you all to understand that dependability and faithfulness is a very, very important trait that God really, really requires in us as Christians. Go to Matthew chapter 25, verse 19. Matthew 25 and in verse 19. Let's start in Matthew 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man, and I want you to notice the kingdom of heaven is in italics. It was added. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. I want you to imagine that you have a house. It's a nice house. Maybe it's got a half an acre of property with it, with a garden. Got a nice house, got a garage, shrubs, roof, and all of that. And you're going to be gone for about 3 or 4 years. So you mull over, what am I going to do with my house? And you say, I can sell it, or I can rent it, or I can hire somebody to watch over it while I'm gone. So you hire somebody to watch over it while you're gone. What kind of person are you going to hire to watch out for your property while you're gone? For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And it talks about giving them talents and all that. You know the story. Verse 19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants came. I've been in the church since I was 20, brethren. I'm 66 now. 46 years is a long time. The Lord hasn't come back yet. How long have you been in the church? It's a long time. After a long time, verse 19, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came, and he brought the 5 talents, and he was rewarded appropriately. and so forth and so on. You know the story, how it goes. But what I want you to notice is that the Lord was going to be gone for a long, long time. And when he came back, he was going to settle accounts. If you had a house and you were going to be gone for 10 years, and you came back and you were sending money, you know, and expenses so they could take care of your house, what kind of condition would you like your house to be in? What kind of person would you hire to take care of that? Has God given you anything of value? What's he going to get when he comes back? He's going to be gone for some of us 10 years, 20 years. Long, long time, brethren. So it's very important that we understand that we need to be faithful in our own lives, not only physically, but also spiritually. God does not ask us what our ability is. He asks us, are you available? And there's a difference. God does not ask us what our ability is. He asks us, can you do it? Are you available? And if we say yes, he will help us to increase our availability. Dependability is fostered also with one other little quality, and that's a quality of humility. Humility. We got to be humble. Because it usually involves doing stuff that we didn't come up with. You know, you're a steward. Your job is to take this field and plow it up and, you know, supervise the workers and make sure the harvest comes in. Well, that's not my field. Yes, but you're a steward. So you got to be humble enough to do what the master wants you to do. We have to sacrifice our own wishes and our own wants for somebody else. You know, you can see the spiritual applications that are coming up here. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. If you want a key verse for this sermon, it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. All right, let me change that. It is required in stewards that one be found dependable. You and I, brethren, I am, you are, I mean, I'm giving this sermon to myself. You and I are stewards. We have been given something of value by God to protect and to keep. And it says here that we are to be found dependable, to be found faithful. That's the one of the qualities that we must have, is to be faithful. Let's go to Psalms 15, verse 4. Psalms 15, verse 4. You know, it's not always easy to do what you're required to do. Psalms 15, verse 4. Psalms 15, verse 4. In whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. Are you a person that honors those that fear the Lord? Notice what it says. But he honors those who fear the Lord. Do you honor those that fear the Lord, or do you honor what's on the entertainment scene? You know, I get my ideas from the television set. Or I get my ideas from godly people. It's not always a minister. I get my ideas from godly people. Notice what it says. But he honors those who fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. Those who fear the Lord are God's servants. This person is speaking about honors those people. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. You know, there's people that have been involved in situations, and they said, yeah, I'm going to do this. And you know what happens? They do it, even though it costs them money. Even though, I told my son that I was going to do this, but things have changed. I understand there are situations when things cannot be done the way you say. We're speaking in general terms here. But notice what it says in verse 4. The last part, he who swears to his own hurt and does not change. He's so dependable that he lost money on the deal, but he went through with the deal anyway. Instead of, no, I can't do that. Let me count my change here. I'll come out 15 cents short. I'm not going to do that. A dependable person will keep his promises. Do you and I keep our promises? Do you keep your promises to yourself, to each other, to God? Let's go to Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24, verse 10. Proverbs 24, verse 10. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Just read the book of Proverbs, brothers and sisters. It has lots of little tidbits about the kind of character we should have as being dependable people. 24:10. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. You want God to say, man, I sent you this trial and you caved on me. You don't have much strength. Or do you want God to say, I sent you this trial, you were able to handle it, you're a very strong person? Which one of those attributes do you want to have God put on you? If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Which means, you know, we shouldn't be like that. We should be where we don't faint so that we don't have small strength. We should be the opposite. We should have a lot of strength so that when adversity comes, we will not faint. This world, brethren, is full of heartache and sorrow. I heard a minister once say, very true, that life is like a veil of tears. There's going to be all kinds of problems, brethren. It's not whether you have problems. It's what you do when you come across them. And you want God, and you want to be able to say to yourself, my strength is a lot, because I was able to handle this adversity. God will give you strength and all of that. This is the subject and all of these things. But you don't want to be classed with those that, I just don't know if that person's going to be able to do what I need him to. Speaking as God. God speaking to me, God speaking to you. Does God say to each of us, he's got a little strength, but not much? Or do you want God to say, he's a pretty strong person, she's a pretty strong person? They've been able to put up with a lot. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. First, between Hebrews and Revelation, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. 1 Peter 4, and in verse 10. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. Once again, brethren, sometimes I think we overanalyze scriptures. It talks about minister. That must mean the pastor. I'm not a minister. As each one has received a gift, have you been given a gift by God? Yeah. Spiritual gifts? Mm-hmm. Physical gifts? Oh, yeah. As each one of you has received a gift, minister it to one another. You know what the word minister means? It means to serve. So what God has given you, do you use it to serve others? As good stewards, there's that word again, stewards. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So with our gifts, whatever they are, we should be serving other people. Point number four. You know, we talked about how we should be dependable. How about God? You know that God is very, very dependable. You can always, brethren, count on God. People let you down, which they will. You can always count on God. You know, I often read about different cultures in, you know, books about sociology and history. And some of the different cultures had different concepts of gods. In some of the cultures, the gods that they worshiped were gods like they were. You know, they lusted after each other, they lied, they cheated, they were evil. Can you imagine what it would be like to have a God you couldn't depend on? Can you imagine being, you know, coming up in the resurrection, and you're standing before the God, before God the Father, or God Jesus Christ, and they say, oh, change my mind. Not, you know, I'm not going to give you sonship. I've decided on some other pathway. What? No, you have confidence in God because God is very, very dependable. We could say God is dependable, or we could put it in spiritual terms that God is faithful. We should be faithful like God is faithful with us. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. You know, it talks in the Bible about God is love. It talks in the Bible about God is a lawgiver. It talks in the Bible about God is just. It talks in the Bible about God is omnipotent. It talks in the Bible about God is majestic. It talks in the Bible all kinds of adjectives to describe God. Here's another one, verse 9. God is faithful. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus, God and Jesus Christ, because they're both members of the Godhead. These are very, very faithful people, are very, very faithful beings. You can depend on them. They're not like, God's not like us, very dependable. And so God is a very, very faithful person. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Those are the kind of qualities we're supposed to have. Those are the kind of qualities God has. God is dependable because He's righteous. He's got, what is that term there in the middle? Faith. You know what faith means? Faithfulness. We should have faith. You know what faith really is? It means that what you have heard is going to happen, is going to happen. Sun coming up tomorrow? Yes, it is. So we should be faithful. That's one of our attributes. We should be dependable. God should be able to have faith in us or depend on us. Let's go to Psalms 102, verse 27. Psalms 102. Psalms 102, verse 27. This is what God is like. I wish I could say this about myself. But you are the same, and your years have no end. God is unchangeable. He never changes. You know what? Did God consider murder wrong 50 years ago? It's still wrong today. Did God consider whatever sin you're considering wrong 1,000 years ago? Yeah, still wrong today. God doesn't change. He's unchangeable. You ever heard somebody describe another person? That person doesn't change. He's the same, or she's the same as the day I met her 35, 40 years ago. Hopefully it's in a good way. But, you know, they're unchangeable. They're steadfast. They don't move. Look at James chapter 1, verse 17. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good gift, whatever the gift is you have, every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. God is the same, brethren. He's unchangeable. He is as dependable as the sun coming up tomorrow. And, you know, we live in a physical world. If we didn't know prophecy, we wouldn't be able to even say that. Because we might get hit by a giant asteroid tonight. I said might. We're not going to. But, you know, in the realm of the physical, we're not even sure if the sun is coming up tomorrow. God is unchangeable, brethren. And we need to be more like him. We need to be more like God and to be unchangeable. Look at James 5:12. Same book, chapter 5, verse 12. But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any of the oath, but lest your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. We should be so dependable that when he says something, it's going to happen. Or she says something, it's going to happen. So, brethren, we need to look at, we need to understand that dependability, although it's a very physical term and can be used in a lot of physical ways, you know, dependable worker. I depend on my garbage man. We get our garbage picked up every Tuesday. What day is it today? Oh, it's Tuesday. The garbage is out. You know, I can depend on the garbage man to come and pick up my garbage. Dependability is a very important pursuit from a secular point of view. It's very important for employers. It's very important for employees. It's very important for husbands and wives when they relate to themselves. It's very important for you as a father or mother to your children. It's very important for your physical brothers and sisters. It's very important for your mom or for your dad. It's very important that we have dependability among ourselves on a physical level. Is Mendes going to be here today to give the sermon? Well, I don't know. He hasn't been here the last four times. Where's he been? I don't know. He never calls anybody. What would you think of me as a person if I just never showed up? Because, you know, just wasn't sure if I was going to be here. No, I know I'm speaking to the choir. Y'all are all the same. You know, I know where you're going to be every Sabbath unless you're sick or something's wrong. And I also understand, brethren, that we are faithful. We are a very faithful people. The world is full of people that give lip service to faithfulness and dependability. You and I, a long time ago, we decided that we were going to follow God. So we're here every Sabbath. Some of us go to great lengths to be here. Prepare our children, prepare ourselves, drive long distances. Some of us have given up jobs on the Sabbath to be here. Why? Because he is dependable. She's dependable. The world is full of large churches, brethren, where you can just do whatever you want because it doesn't matter. All it depends on is what you want. If the world was as dependable as you are, I'm giving you a compliment here. If the world was as dependable as you are, this building would be full of people. We wouldn't be able to meet here. But y'all are very dependable. You've been dependable to God. I want to exhort you and help you to keep doing that. We need to continue to be very dependable. Dependability is a very, very important trait, not only from a physical perspective, but also from a spiritual perspective. Dependability can make or break you spiritually. It can make or break me spiritually. If you look at the men and women of the Old Testament and New Testament, the ones that didn't make it were not dependable. Let me rephrase that. The ones that didn't make it were not faithful. Okay, yeah, I'll agree with that. Dependability and faithfulness are the same word. Just one is spiritual application, the other is physical application. So we need to be very dependable, not only physically, but we also need to be dependable spiritually. It is a very, very important trait. Dependability is probably the most important trait because dependability means faithfulness. Faithfulness is probably one of the most important traits that you can have as a Christian. And I encourage you, as time goes on, to continue to develop this trait in your life. It's very important for God to understand that you and I are very faithful.